Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, I guess the lack of enthusiasm was kind of explained yesterday, Chris. I walked away from that one thinking the same way I did against Dallas, except even more intensified. And what I mean by that is, you know, the Giants don't have the talent to compete with Dallas, and they sure as hell don't have the talent to compete with the Eagles. This was bad, though. You know, this wasn't just this wasn't like Dallas where they played well in the first half and then lost it. This was disastrous. We'll get into it, but look, man, in a weird way, I'm just like, let's flush it. Let's move on to Washington. But we will talk about this game, and we'll talk about a guy who's added his name to the list of follies with the between this rivalry. And he can put his name next to Joe Pisarcik, and he can put his name next to Matt Dodge. It's just another guy that's done something to where Eagle fans can laugh at us. But hey, man, look, dude, they're way more talented. They are probably the best team in the league, unfortunately, and it just showed yesterday.
Jerry, how about the time? How about when we blocked a punt?
Oh, we're at the same.
And Sipos picked it up and almost ran for first down.
Chris, you
I
tweeted
said that,
that
could only happen with these two teams, right?
Chris, you tweeted that, and I literally wrote it down. I said this is it wasn't quite Clyde Simmons in '88, but of course he got. I'm like, of course he got the first down.
I just did.
And I'm just thinking, man, what the hell do we have to do to exercise these demons against this team? Of course that would happen, but I thought he got it, dude. I really did.
Well, I was going to bring something up quick, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, and it just seems like this organization has always been on the wrong end of these follies when it comes to the Eagles, right? It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But, Jerry, I'm going to bring up something, you know, because this is the way I felt back in the day with the Red Sox and Yankees. But no matter what bad thing happened, the Yankees were always laughing at the Red Sox. So what turned it around, Jerry? Well, better players, better teams. So until the Giants match them talent level or become a better team on the field, you're going to get your butt whipped basically every time by these guys. And then you'd be surprised how those follies starts turning around a little bit, you know?
Hand to God. I thought the exact same scenario, and I literally said this to myself. I wish I texted you. This is what Chris must have felt like watching the Red Sox against the Yankees for so long.
Because you just felt like it would never turn. You'd be like, well, you know what, then? And people used to come at me and say, oh, Chris, you know, you jinxed. I said, don't give me that Babe Ruth crap. Don't give me that jinx, this, that. I said, give me some pitching. That would help.
Right.
And the Sox got some pitching in the early 2000s, and they turned it around. Okay, especially against the Yankees back in the day, okay?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is you're going to have to improve the roster big time because these guys aren't going anywhere.
No.
You know, and I was thinking about this, Jerry, before we started recording. The Giants' offensive line is still a major work in progress.
Yes. Yep.
Now, Joe Shane brings in Glowinski. He's been average at right guard.
And that's generous.
Evan Neal has struggled. He really, at times this season, he really struggled yesterday against the Eagles. He actually looked real bad at times, real bad.
Yeah.
Footwork, slow technique, getting the wing to side. Edge guy, the quick edge guys, you know, like Sweat and Graham, giving him problems. But look, he's a kid. We saw this with Andrew Thomas. We expect him to get much better. But the interior of the offensive line is going to be like this line. And Jerry, here's the thing. I was thinking about this before we just started up. You look at the future. Well, Dallas's pass rush isn't going anywhere, especially if they have number 11. Washington has a bunch of number ones up front. They're still pretty young. They're not going anywhere. I'm just talking pass rush now, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Go ahead.
And the Eagles go about 15 deep. Okay?
And they play for 30 years. Go ahead. Yeah.
And they play for 30 years. And every Brandon Graham could be probably 60 years old. He'll probably still come in and get three sacks on the Giants.
Doesn't matter. Yep.
It doesn't matter. So I'm saying to myself, oh, I tell you what, they better drastically improve this offensive line. Because, Jerry, they gave up 44 sacks. They gave up 7 yesterday. Daniel escaped about 3 more.
Yeah.
Okay. They've given up 44 sacks in 13 games. So they're on pace probably to giving up around 60.
Yeah.
Okay? That's an absurd number. Absurd.
Yeah.
Absurd number. Okay.
And with Evan Neal, I thought about this literally about 20 minutes ago. Because I thought, what are we going to talk about? We're going to concentrate on the offensive line. I'm giving Evan Neal this year. Like, I honestly, sure. I don't ever yeah. walk away from any game saying Evan Neal's a bust. Evan Neal stinks. Oh, Evan, yeah. figure it out this year. Okay, you got to next year. Then it gets serious for me in my head, right?
Right.
Then right. game on, buddy. You gotta start showing why we took you so high, like Andrew Thomas right. did.
Right.
But like you said, dude, the middle of that line. I mean, you can make the argument. Okay, wide receiver, inside linebacker. I mean, in middle of the line, it's all 1A, 1B, 1C. I don't mm-hmm. care which one you improve first. I change my mind every 5 minutes after watching yesterday. And then once, when that game started and you saw Thomas and then Neal get beat, you thought, oh, this is bad. Our two best guys just got beat on the first series yeah, for two sacks. Yeah. And then it just got worse from there. So you can make the argument, Chris, that the inside of the offensive line is just as much of a priority as anything else, if not more.
Absolutely, dude, because they play in the NFC East where the other three teams get to the quarterback big time.
Loaded.
They're loaded. They get loaded. They get to the quarterback. So you're going to have to address this, man. And then yesterday, like you said, dude, the first series with Daniel, they come out, they get a 14-yard play, and then a two-sack. And I put it on Twitter. I said, well, if Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal are going to lose one-on-one battles, they have no chance. Zero. Zilch.
Yes. Yep.
Of, I guess, even being remotely close to winning this game.
Right, right.
And that's what happened. I mean, Thomas gave up some pressure, gave up a sack. Neal gave up a sack, numerous pressures, gave up two sacks.
Yeah.
The interior of the line. So, dude, this is Joe Shane's first year, and he went out and drafted Neal, and we expect big things out of him. Like you said, next year we want to see a big step forward. But he's going to have to address that middle of the line. I'm talking upgrades – a right guard, center, and left guard. You better address the middle of the side because, dude, you could have all the you could have all the Jamar Chases you want. You could have all the Justin Jeffersons you want, my man.
Right.
But if your quarterback doesn't have 3 seconds to sit back in a pocket or 2.5 seconds to get a read and throw, that's going to be useless because...
Yeah, I mean, that's Eli Manning's end of his career where we had all receivers and no line and he had no time, right? Like, it's the same thing. We're going to give Shane more time, but you're right, dude. You yeah. have to have the offensive line fixed. This is going on. It's almost going on 10 years now, Chris, to be honest.
It's not like it's settled down. It's still a huge project here. They have right. to, and Joe knows that. Don't get me yeah. wrong. Dable yeah. knows that. We all yeah. know that.
Yeah.
Now it just depends on whether or not they do it. Right? He addressed it this year. He signed Glowinski, a decent veteran. He went out and drafted an Evan Neal. And he's going to do more. I mean, nobody's doubting Joe Shane here.
And in fairness, Azudu may be that guy too. That's the one guy yeah. you look at on the roster and say, you know what? He may fill the left guard spot and be just fine right there.
Right.
But you have to upgrade a guard spot in the offseason. You have mm-hmm. to. And maybe center, unless you're going with Nick Gates, but that's fine. But, everything's on the table at this point. That's all.
Yeah, this has to be addressed, because you have this kid McKethan. We'll see what he brings to the table next year. You know, the kid who went on IR in training camp.
Yeah, sure.
Draft pick. Another guy. And we'll see. But they have to play better, Jerry, just because it's still a work in progress, this offensive line. Yeah. You saw it yesterday, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably going to see it Sunday night against a Chase Young back Redskins. Commanders. Because these guys aren't going nowhere. You know, that's the way it's going to be the next 3 or 4 years. You're going to have loaded fronts. You're playing, against three other teams in your division. So, man, they're going to 44 sacks. I mean, Daniel was running for his life at times as he was getting hit. And people are like, well, we got to take more shots and this and that. They're taking some verticals.
How can you, though, right?
I mean, and the bottom line is this, a lot of people ask, does Dable have zero confidence in Daniel? Guys, he has zero confidence in the offensive line.
And he has to have zero confidence in the receivers, too, at some point. I mean, you got Hodgins and Slade, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Don't get me wrong. That we all know they need a true, they need a number one, they need another two, they need receivers. No, we know that, right? But like I said, dude, it all starts up front. And this offensive line is not drastically better next year, it's not going to matter, man.
Yeah.
Because you see games like yesterday, They were just dominant. I mean, right from the first series, boom, both tackles, beat off the edge, boom, get and right there. I got to be honest with you, Jerry.
Game was over.
The feeling in the building?
Yeah.
After that first series was like, we're going to get smoked.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I'm like, this game's over. And then you saw it was third and forever. And then they got another, I think they got a sack there. It was like, oh, forget it. This game is over before it's even starting. You just felt it.
Yeah. And then, look, the only way that would have kind of changed that feeling, Jerry, is that the Giants would have got a three and out themselves or a turnover or something like that. But the Eagles get the ball. They go about 8 minutes, march down the field like no problem. They score. And I'm just telling you, dude, the feeling of building was, oh, this game is over, bro.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You can't have that feeling. And look, we both predicted 14-point wins, 12-point, 10-point, whatever the hell we predicted, right? But you know what?
I think I had 20, I think. 37.
You had it by 20. Okay, so there you go. You had it by 20.
17, rather. Yeah.
I think I had them like by 14 or something, whatever it was, right? So, but, you know, that was like a non-competitive blowout.
Right. Yes. You know,
that wasn't competitive. That was the Eagles toying with the Giants.
Yeah.
They were having fun out there. Mm. And that's something we didn't want to see, Joe. We both felt they were going to lose by a pretty good margin. But we didn't want to see him lose by a good margin that way.
Yep.
And, you know, and basically, let's face it, Jerry, it was a 48-14 game. You know what I mean? I mean,
oh,
they got
yeah,
the last absolutely. Garbage touchdown oh, yeah, with yeah, Taylor. Yeah. You know, the
game wasn't even, the game was way, way, not representative of that score. That score was way closer than the game. Yeah.
When the Giants were, when Taylor had the ball, Tyrod Taylor, and it was, the Eagles' offense was on the sideline. They weren't even looking at the play, Jerry. They were all laughing on the side. They could care less what was going on the field.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
So it wasn't competitive. Jalen Hurts had his way. They ran the ball in the second half. Miles Sanders, they just kept running the same counter play. And the Giants were getting destroyed. They're not good against the run at all. They gave up 400 yards, I think, plus the last three games. A lot of the magic they got out of these young guys in the back end is not working anymore. Fabian Moreau, who was such a good story, a nice story at the beginning of the year. Well, that story has now changed drastically.
Okay. Corner, another one. Yep.
Okay. Obviously, Dory's missed. McKinney's missed. Running game. You know, Leo was missed big time. He does so much for everybody when he's in there. But it wasn't like they were stopping the run before Leo got hurt. You know, they were still giving up a lot of yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Linebackers are definitely positioned. Mm-hmm. So what these games are showing you, and don't get me wrong, they're back in their weight class Sunday night. And it should be another battle against Washington, right? Don't let Minnesota fool you. It's not like there's some dynamic 10-3 team.
I agree.
They'll be right there with the Vikings probably.
Yep.
And the Colts, right? And then depending on what the Eagles, if they need it or not, the Eagles the last game, okay? But you just saw yesterday, Jerry, that how far away they are from being in a heavyweight class.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong, Jerry. There's not many teams in that heavyweight class in the NFL. You got your Chiefs, you got your Eagles, you know, this year, and you got a couple other teams, right?
It's hard to name the other ones, though, isn't it, Chris?
It really is. There isn't really many, like, heavyweights this year, you know?
Right.
The Chiefs, obviously, you know, the Eagles.
Bills, I guess the Bills.
The Vikes, I'm not putting there. The Bills. Bills, okay. I put the Bills there. Miami's shown that they're not a heavyweight. Stop with that crap. Okay, AFC North, you know, the Bengals are kind of like a heavyweight, you know, but there's not many.
But in the NFC, it's the Eagles and maybe a Garoppolo-led 49er team. But
And I'll, you know what, Jerry, because of their defense and because of their coaching, I'll still put them in a heavyweight class, even with Brock Purdy, because they have a great scheme offensively and their defense is so ferocious, dude.
Defense is ridiculous.
You saw what they did to Brady yesterday. That's why they're still going to be a threat to the Eagles because their defense could get you some turnovers, get you some sacks and all that stuff. But we don't know what they're going to do on the offensive side.
And
the
point, one more. Sorry, Dallas. That's it. Dallas.
And you know what, dude?
They're schizophrenic, though.
I agree with you, Jerry. I agree with you. I'll put them in the heavyweight class. But, dude, you saw it yesterday against Houston.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, it's Dallas. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's Dallas.
Yep.
I said earlier last week, I said, well, if there's one team that could knock off the Eagles, it's probably the Cowboys. This is, you know, This is before I saw the way Brock Purdy plays and the way they played yesterday in the Niners. But I said, it's probably the Cowboys. But, dude, do you really expect the Cowboys at the end of January to knock it off the Eagles?
Not in Philly.
Not in Philly, dude. No. You know, even at home, they would blow it probably somehow. You know
yeah,
I mean?
But definitely not in Philly.
But definitely not in Philly. So the point being is that the Giants are back in their weight class this week. They're not, you know, up in that upper echelon of the league. We know that. They really showed. And, Jerry, you know, as the weeks move on and teams see more and more and more tape, you know, the cream kind of rises to the top. You know, they start, like, Daniel hasn't been a real factor with his legs. No. You know, the teams have done a pretty good job in that. Last week it was a little bit, you know. Saquon has been a non-factor. Yeah. You know, they haven't run the ball well, the Giants. If they don't run the ball, the Giants, they don't have no chance to win these games. Done. You know? So, the Eagles had their way yesterday. They did basically anything they wanted. They even had their rookie tight end involved early in the game. They got A.J. Brown, you know, and the Devontae's fourth and seven. And Nick Sirianni was like, yeah, no, we're going to go for it. You know, like he had no problem at all going for it.
And there was a bit of a rush on Hurts, too. He still got it off. Still got it off. And I mean, made a great it wasn't like he had all day. You know, Thibodeau and Ojulari got there.
Yeah. Yeah. He made a great throw, and Julian made a real bad read instead of blowing up Smith.
That's my question for you. Okay, so part of me was, I want to stay on that play 1 second. Part of me was aggravated with the NFL. Like, well, that's what the NFL's kind of come to, right? Julian Love can't hit Devontae Smith because he's going to get a personal foul there. So he obviously should have just deflected the ball. But my question for you is, if the Giants were 11-1 and Philly is 7-4-1 and they're in Philly for that, do the Eagles drill our receiver? Does another team do that? Like, what were your thoughts on that play? Do you think Julian should have maybe sent a message there? Or just, I mean, obviously deflecting the ball is the easiest play, but the other thing was to hit him, even if you get the 15.
I thought there was two options. Either knock it down, try to knock it down, deflect it, or put your shoulder into his chest.
Even if you get 15.
Well, you're not going to get 15 if he's touching a ball and you hit him cleanly with your shoulder and blow him up. Okay. You just can't hit him in the neck area.
But I think what I'm saying is I think players are afraid of getting that penalty. Because they're saying, well, that's defenseless.
That's not what Julian said. I can't get into Love's head. It's possible. I'm not going to argue with that, you know. Yeah. But if you look at his reaction, and Julian kind of confirmed it after the game, he thought he had an interception. He thought it was coming in his spread basket. And you can see, he put his hands up to pick it off.
Yeah.
It was a total bad read. It's situational football, too, because even in that situation, you don't even want to intercept it.
You just want to hit it.
Because it's fourth down on a Giants 41.
Yep.
So you kind of want to knock it down. Because if you pick it off, I think now they have the ball in the 15.
Exactly.
Or
right around, you want to knock
right around there.
That's it. Just knock it
off. That's really quick thinking, too. Don't get me wrong. I don't like to second guess that. Somebody brought that up to me after the game, and I was like, oh, relax. I was like, relax, dude. I mean, come on. That's quick split second thinking, too. Yeah. But he did have a chance to knock it down. He did have a chance to smash Devontae Smith. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he thought he made a look. It was a bad read. Dable asked him, "Tony, careful. What were you thinking, Dan?" He's like, "Oh, I thought I had the interception." It was not a good play by Julian.
Yeah.
And Donnay Holmes got beat. And not only did Julian not intercept it, he didn't even get a piece of Devontae Smith.
Yeah. And the worst part was he read it beautifully. He ran over. He just missed everything. He missed all three things. Yeah.
Look, I mean, Wink had the defense. He had Donnay underneath. He had a safety over the top.
Yeah.
It wasn't executed, dude. Yeah. Jalen, like you said, wasn't like he sat there and was reading a book and then threw the ball. He was under a little pressure. But, Jerry, you saw it yesterday. I mean, how many beautiful throws did Jalen Hurts have?
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Even so, both beautiful throws that were dropped. One was by Devontae Smith right in his hands.
One was A.J. Brown.
One was A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making it. The one ball Devontae Smith caught inside the five that he didn't get both feet down. That was unbelievable. We were talking about that after the game. That was a beautiful throw by Hurts.
Yeah.
Devontae's had to get 2 feet down there, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, look, Jalen Hurts played a great game. Look, Jalen Hurts came in. He wasn't happy the way he played last year in the Meadowlands. They lost that 13-7 game. Had the interceptions.
Three picks, I think,
And he came in on a mission. Obviously, they have a much better team. And he just played lights out. Tip your hat to them. Like Dable says, and most guys said it after the game, Jerry. They were like, yo, we just got whipped. You know, we just got whipped up.
Yeah.
And they did. You know, there's no question about that. There was, when it was 21, you had a little glimmer of hope when it was 21-0. You had the block punt by Ellison Smith. I was a year too late, by the way, with that one. I don't know if you remember last year I tweeted that. I said, Bob Papa's going to say this one day. Remember? And then Papa was like, what are you doing? What are you imitating? Remember that last year when they drafted him, Jerry? So I'm a little year too late. But Ellison did get his big paw up there. Got it. You know, he blocked. And then, unbelievably enough, they still almost got the first down. But
unbelievable.
The Giants scored there. Isaiah Hodgins, great job.
Yeah.
Daniel rolling to his right. Isaiah recognizing it. Improv, rolling with him. And Daniel hits it for the touchdown, beating Slay. But then, you know, instead of just drilling a ball through the end zone,
yeah,
they decide to kick off to Boston Scott, who
immediately
returns it
66 yards.
Is that the number, Jerry?
He got 66. It was a 66-yard return. Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at my notes here, and a 66-yard return. Oh, Jerry, very good, brother. Boston Scott, 66-yard kickoff return to the Giant, 35.
Yep.
Boom.
Momentum gone.
They wind up holding to a field goal, whatever. Yeah. Momentum totally changed. Now, they did that again with Boston Scott, and once again, Boston Scott had a pretty good return on him. I had an ex-stable afterwards.
I heard it. I heard your question. It was a great question.
I had to ask him, like,
yeah,
was that planned? I'm trying to be nice about, like, you know,
yeah,
I could have been, you know, I really felt like being the old Italian in me saying, yo, what are we doing here? You know, you know, like, I mean, didn't the first time, it's bad enough Boston Scott, he could probably play with 104 fever, the flu, every damn disease known to man, and still have a good game against the Giants.
He does nothing against anyone else but us. It's unbelievable.
And I'm saying to myself, well, why are we kicking him off to him not once, but twice? And Dable's like, you could tell, no, I really wasn't. We're going to ask McGahee this week. You know, I guess the impression I got from Dable is that Graham kicked it a little short, that wasn't planned.
That's pretty much what he said. Yeah.
Did you get that impression from Dable when he answered me?
Yes, because I was like, that's a great question. And he kind of said like, well, no, he just didn't hit it as far or something like that. I forget what he said.
Right, because if that was the way they wanted to attack it, he would have said, yeah, that's the way we want it. Because early in the year, somebody asked him on some other game, I don't remember now, about kicking up short. And Dable says, yeah, that was the plan, you know?
Yeah,
but he kind of answered me yesterday, like nah. Otherwise, Graham.
Mean that. Yeah.
Look, Graham didn't get into it enough, and
yeah, something because like that. He said
I was befuddled. Like, why we kick it off to this guy?
Chris, you know? Hang on one second, guys. We're gonna take a quick break. It's already we're almost 25 minutes in. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on. And we're back, folks. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris Bisignano, Nobody Beats the Biz, and Jerry Foley. Yeah, and that's the thing. There's been times this year where it's like, just let this kicker with this booming leg just kick it into the end zone. But from the way it sounded in his response, it was that he didn't hit it as far as he wanted him to, or he didn't hit it as far as he wanted to, that it was not meant to go to Scott. So I hope that's the case, because if you're even letting Boston Scott touch the ball, you're not paying attention, because all this guy does is absolutely murder the Giants.
Yeah, look. I'll even give you the first one, I guess, Jerry. You know, but after that big return, like, why are we kicking to him again?
Yeah, right.
You know. Anyway, that we know what happened there. Giants who cut it to 27-14 in the third quarter. The Eagles immediately respond. Jalen Hurts running all over the damn place. Miles Sanders running all over there. They walk right in the end zone and game over for good. Officially 34-14, basically.
Yeah.
So look, it was just two different teams out there, bro. One was a football team. The other one was, what am I going to say? The other one was unbelievable football team. One was just a mediocre football team.
What I couldn't believe, I don't know if you got this impression, was the way they just threw us around. I mean, Richie James catches the ball. They practically launch him. I'm not talking about the play at the end of the game, but like he catches a pass and he's thrown down to the ground like he's in eighth grade and he's playing against the varsity team, the seniors. Daniel Bellinger, you know, Jones hung him out to dry, got drilled in the ribs. Like, they just beat the living shit out of us all afternoon, and I couldn't get over that. Like, I'm watching this going, they just look bigger and stronger and better and faster. Like, this is tough to watch. This is just tough to watch.
Jerry, your eyes didn't deceive you. They are.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were drinking, you know, Jack Daniels before the football game, and you said, well, maybe I'm just a little buzzed. No, dude, your eyes didn't deceive you. They are. They're faster. They're stronger. They're bigger. They're, you know, they are. And the Giants have. Look, they have a lot of work to do, the Giants. And they're probably going to go to the playoffs still. You know, they might still go to the playoffs, and God bless them. You know, it's still a lot of progress this year and all that, but you just, you know, you're seeing now how much work they have to do this offseason.
Yeah.
They're far from a finished product. A
lot of upgrades.
They're far from a finished product, you know? And I'm not just going to say, oh, Chris, don't compare him just to the Eagles. No.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want to just say, well, you look at this game and you no, well, you've seen it now. They're 1-4-1 or whatever.
Yeah,
1-3-1. 1-4-1. Face a real tough game Sunday night against a rested Washington team.
I mean, Dallas outclassed them twice. Like, you look at Dallas, where we said, are they an elite team? We're not sure. Well, they're better than the Giants. They have way more talent than the Giants.
Yes.
So that's an example of a team you played twice and, you know, you kept it close, but they're, you know, the talent's not even close.
And Jerry, you know, and Washington is a good quarterback. A real, you know, if they land either a draft pick quarterback or a Garoppolo, I'm just using an example.
Yeah, right.
They're a good quarterback away
from
being a real, real good squad too, bro.
Yeah. I mean, because
Taylor Heinicke, you know, he gives them a spark. He's got that thing. They like playing behind him, but he's not a legit.
He's a great backup is what he is. That's it.
Right. He's not a legit. He's not taking you where they want to go, Washington. Okay?
Right.
And they might get him in the playoffs, and he might even play decent like he did a couple years ago in that playoff, like he did against the Packers a couple years ago in that playoff game. Or was it Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not going to get you where you want to go. And Ron Rivera, they know that. You know, they know that. So they're a team. If they get a legit quarterback, they're going to be real tough for years to come. Hey, Jerry, this NFC East division.
I was just going to say it.
It's going to be, I mean, of course, things always happen.
Things can happen, but you look at it now, dude. I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, these teams are loaded. These teams can be loaded. The Giants are going to improve. These teams are going to be absolutely loaded.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like back in the 80s with the old NFC East, the way their battles they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're going to have to get out to that hot start.
Absolutely. You know, because the Eagles, they, you know, Jalen Hurts is going nowhere. Devontae Smith and A.J. Browns are going nowhere. Now, they're going to have to upgrade. They're going to have to start upgrading the offensive line because some guys are getting old.
It's okay. They got a top five pick, Chris. They got a top five pick. They'll do that.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, Jerry.
Yeah.
They got a center already in place for when Kelce finally decides to retire.
Right.
And they got Lane Johnson's get up there. You know, he's showing no signs of slowing down.
No.
You know, but the point I'm making is that, you know, and then you got Howie Rosen, who'll probably get Patrick Mahomes next week or something for two draft, but you know what I'm getting.
Yeah, for a bag of
probably balls. He'll probably get Travis Kelce for like a bag of a bucket of balls or something next week or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so this division is going to be real tough, dude.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas doesn't look like they're going anywhere. Washington's a quarterback away from really competing. And then you have, you know, of course, the Eagles, who look like they're going nowhere with their young quarterback, you know. So you see how much. The point being, you've seen how much work the Giants have to do. You know, they have to really, you know, and we have faith in Joe Shane right now. There is nothing, Jerry, that says, hey, Joe Shane can't do this, right? Nothing.
No, nothing.
We have faith in him. But it's going to take a few years, man, you know, to be at that level, you know.
I wrote in my column yesterday that if another GM sees 215 and whatever the number is, then comma H. Roseman, just let it go to voicemail. Because whatever he's going to offer you is not going to go in your favor. Just let it go to voicemail. Don't even call him back, guys, because he's going to get one over on you. Please, God. Please, other GMs, I'm begging you all, just let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
But your point about Shane, I have total faith in the guy. And, you know, look, there were some bright spots. I know they're hard to find. But one of them has to be Aziz Ojulari.
Oh, no question.
Yep. I mean, thanks.
And so is Tibbs. So is Tibbs.
Thibodeau, too. And what, you know the thing about Thibodeau, Chris? He's got to start getting more sacks, not just to get them, but for one more reason. So he starts getting holding penalties called because he doesn't get any yet.
He finally did a good job yesterday on one thing, Jerry. He sold one.
Flare his arms. Yeah, flare his arms in the air.
He's starting to learn, hey, sell it. When you're getting grabbed, sell it.
Right.
Boom. He did the arms and the ref, flag right out.
Right. Yeah.
He's got, you know, he's learning a lot of things, Tibbs.
But those two guys, that's something that's exciting for me. I mean, and Ojulari coming back, like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what he was going to bring to the table.
He's been unbelievable.
You don't know. Was last year a fluke? You know, who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. Comes back, he had two, he's got what, four sacks this year?
One couple of games. Yeah, right? Three games.
You know, he's playing well. Games, and the one yesterday where he threw Jalen Hurts to the ground, you think, all right, this is something you can build on. Just, you just got to shore up the middle. You got to shore up the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is something that gets me excited. You know, going out for the rest of this year, and that's what you want. Like, I want Thibodeau. I want Neal. I want Azudu. Like, guys, it's almost like just learn more, compete at the highest level you can, and contribute what you can the rest of this way. Learn and then build on it for next year. That's what you should be rooting for here, guys. That's all I can ask for. You know, just these guys get experience and keep going. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. No. Go ahead. Yeah. 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 And you might get a little playoff experience, right? Touch in the locker room. You know what I mean? You might even get that for these young kids.
Yep.
You know, especially with Seattle, they look like, you know, after that loss yesterday, they got to play the 49ers in a couple of nights.
Thank you, Carolina.
You know, so yeah. I mean, Carolina dominated them yesterday. That was, yeah. I mean, that was a joke. You know, so, so you might even get a little playoff experience with these young kids too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
But the Eagle game, Jerry, getting back to it, the Giants need a certain formula to win games or at least keep it close. That's, you know, third down defense, they got to get them off the field. They didn't do that yesterday. Red zone, you got to hold them to, you know, one touchdown. No, the Eagles are 3 or 4. You got to run the ball if you're the Giants. They didn't run the ball. If the Giants formula isn't there this year in each game, it's going to be real tough.
I know you're not Ronnie Barnes. But is it the holes or is it Barkley's health right now, dude? What do you think?
I think it's both. You know, I think Barkley's just maybe a little worn down.
Yeah.
Look, he admitted after the game he had a stinger. He's playing with a stinger. He was on a limited, you know, he was on a little bit of a pitch count yesterday.
Yeah.
Obviously, when the game got out of hand, Dable got him the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm. And that's smart.
Yeah, but look, he was clear. He came in Sunday morning. He came in a little bit early, from what I understand. He came in a little bit early. Ronnie Barnes wanted to run him through some tests. Yeah. That's why he was in the building early. Yep. Work, you know, and Ronnie cleared him. Barnes cleared him. He was good to go. And he played a little bit. He tried to get something out of him. And then when he got out of hand, he got him the hell out of it, which was smart.
Yeah.
You know? But Jerry, he's been banged up. He's had the shoulder issue for weeks, too, that he's played through.
Yeah.
Okay? And now he's got the stinger in the neck. The stinger in the neck area and all that that he's playing through. So he's a little banged up, Saquon. This is what happens, dude, when you really haven't had close to 300 carries or 280 carries for previous years, and then all of a sudden you get 280, 300 plus.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's, dude, this is football. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dude, this is, you know, you start feeling it, man. And the offensive line up front is not, you know, blowing people. They're not really opening holes, blowing people off the ball either up front. So, it's tough, but I tell you, one guy who I like gives him some energy when he's in there is that Gary Brightwell, man. You know, he gives him in there, he hits up in that hole quick, and so
it's funny. I don't love him as a kick returner; I like him as a running back.
Sure, I like him too, man.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, when he fell behind early too, Jerry, they had to start throwing a little bit more and try to be a little patient with the run. But the running game just hasn't been there the last four games, man.
Now, you also put out a tweet yesterday. Do you think they have something in Hodgins here? And I'm not saying as a one or a two, but maybe like a three or four receiver.
I think they do. Am I wrong, Jerry? What do you see? I mean,
He runs great routes.
Look, I look at him yesterday and I said, you know, he's making some chunk plays.
Yeah.
He's been working with Daniel after practice during the week.
Yeah.
They brought him over from Buffalo. He's a pretty big kid, right? He kind of looks like Galladay a little bit, except he catches the ball and actually makes plays.
And gets open.
Gets old. I mean, so I looked at him yesterday, you know, and I said to myself, hey, why not? Well, I mean, why can't this guy be, on this roster next year? Why can't he be, you know, help this team next year, you know?
Yeah, I thought the best route he ran was against Washington last week, the touchdown. I thought that was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he catches the ball a little bit. You know, he's running some of those slants. He catches it in traffic. Yeah. Smart play yesterday. He sees Daniel rolling to his right. Hey, rolls it, you know, improvs with him, rolls with him, beats Slay a little bit. Slay probably thought this guy ain't gonna beat me. You
Slay
know
was
mean?
Pissed too. Yeah.
And because Slay was like, who the hell is this guy 18 beat me? You know what I mean?
So is that Kenny Galladay?
Yeah. Oh wait a minute, I thought Galladay, you know, so you know. Well, is Plaxico back on his team? What the hell? You know what I mean? So anyway, you know, Plaxico was in the building yesterday too, matter of fact. But I think he's taking advantage of what's going on here with this, what the receivers, and I think he's making a case for himself, Jerry. That's what I was trying to say yesterday, you know, that he's making a case for himself to be a part of this offense next year. He's a big kid too, you know, he's a big kid. You know, so. Yeah.
Overall, they came out relatively healthy other than the Bellinger injury, no? I mean, nobody else, anything too significant?
No, just McFadden and Bellinger a little sore.
Yeah.
Bellinger caught that shot right in the ribs yesterday, man, before half. Haven't heard anything about broken, nothing like that. It just seems like he's got really sore ribs, so we'll see how, you know, how it goes. And another neck injury. McFadden had a neck.
Yeah.
I did neck and an ankle.
Something so annoying that the Eagle fans do is they assume that everyone's faking injuries on defense. So it just gives them the right to boo. And that's all they want to do, whether it's they want to boo their team or boo your team. When McFadden was down yesterday, it was obvious there was an injury, but you heard the Eagle fans booing, and even they were making note of it on the announcement. The announcers were Darryl Johnson. Well, you know, the Eagle fans were booing because a lot of these guys fake it. And it was almost like when McFadden didn't come in, it was like, well, good. Yeah, he was really hurt, guys. But look, that's just...
Is that what they said on TV? Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
Johnston actually, Darryl Johnson made note of it. Like, yeah, the Eagle fans are booing because they think people are faking to slow down their offense. And they do it at every home game. Anytime anybody goes down, they think they're faking. And sometimes, I guess they are, but there's times where they're not. It's football, guys. And when McFadden was down, I thought it was pretty clear that he was hurt, but whatever.
Right.
You can't expect much of that fan base, but anyway. Look.
Yeah, well, you know what? You better be careful if you do fake it now, because the NFL's leveling teams with this. I don't even know how they're proving it, but they're leveling teams.
Right.
There's two teams got leveled last week with fines.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Better be real careful. I mean, obviously, that's not the case yesterday. I'm saying, but for the future teams, they better be real careful if they are going to start tanking on the field like that, because the NFL has no problem, you know, issuing heavy fines on teams, as we saw last week, man. It's incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, so for the most part, pretty healthy. I'm glad Bellinger's just sore and it's not broken ribs, because that looked bad. It looked very Kevin Boss-like. And now, I loved Kevin Boss, but it just seemed like every pass he caught was like, oh God, like Eli just hung him out there a little bit. Sorry, Lisa. But and Jones kind of did that with Bellinger yesterday. I was like, oh, he's not going to gain any yards here. What do you just throw it away? And he got hit pretty good. So I was glad.
Yeah,
I'm
got
glad
hit
it's
real
just
good.
A little sore. So I'm not going to ask you about Bredesen and all those guys, because Dable, I got the... The
yeah,
notes
we'll see,
from Dable,
man. We'll see during a week. We'll see during a week, you know?
The punter,
I think Bredesen has a shot, though, for Sunday, Jerry. I think Bredesen has a shot.
I hope so. I mean, how funny, right? Bredesen coming back is almost like a Dory Jackson coming back right now. Like, oh, God, we need Bredesen so bad. I mean, like, him and Azudu, please come back, guys. We just want more options at guard right now. But punter, do we work guys out this week or what? What are we doing?
Damn, Jerry, I would, man.
Right?
I would get somebody in. I would get somebody in here, dude. It's not like he's having a great year and he just had one mishap.
Right.
This is like, just adds on to, like, so many bad punts. Can't get it inside the 20 when they need it. Yeah. Down the middle type punts. And now yesterday's act.
Ask the question, Chris. Ask the question. Go ahead.
What?
What are we doing?
I know. Like, well, I mean, I don't know, Jerry. I haven't heard anything. We'll see. Tuesday's a pretty good tryout day for teams. You know, they bring in guys and they try them out. Haven't heard anything yet. We'll see if they bring in a couple of punters, man. I know the Eagles already brought in. They already signed the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Because they lost their punter yesterday. So, yeah. I'm sure that I don't know the names, but I'm sure there's a couple of guys floating around. Maybe they want to take a look at.
No, I mean, I don't care if you give me a guy that hits it 38 yards as long as it hits it directionally once in a while. Just give me a directional guy. Yeah. That's all.
Look, it's not like we were happy with him before this, right?
No, right.
We were kind of like, you know, what are we doing here with Gillen? You know, I mean, a lot of bad punt, you know. And look, I hate to go here.
Yeah.
I went here yesterday with a few people, and they kind of agreed with me. I'm not going to name the people, but I hate to go here because I really like the guy personally. But special teams really hasn't been that good this year.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. Yeah.
I pulled up to a few people yesterday. Do you think maybe it's time next year? I'm not talking about now. Next year, maybe to change it up a little bit with the special teams coordinator, you know? And a couple of people like, yeah, probably would be something that Dave was going to look at.
Yeah.
And I get it. The roster's thin. You have a lot of guys off, you know, practice squad elevated, you know, because, you know, you need guys in the starting role. So you thin out a little bit.
Right.
And guys play special teams that aren't, not, you know, really good, but. A couple of the guys that really need to step up this year on special teams haven't. Cam Brown's one of them.
Cam Brown.
He has been very quiet.
Yeah.
You know? And you look at yesterday, the lanes, guys not getting off blocks, you know, a wide open lane that one time for Scott.
Yeah.
Then you have a couple of mishaps, you know, all over, dude. So, I don't know. We'll see which way, but I think it might be time. And we'll see what Dable's going to do in the season. But it might be time for a new voice in the building.
Yeah.
Special teams.
It happens. You know?
It happens. It's the NFL. When your unit is not playing well, right, a lot of times you could be, you know, you could be in danger. So that's something I think Dable's probably going to visit.
Yeah.
This offseason. Yep. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm just saying, but I'm not having, you know, from the preseason, Jerry, when you were asking Chris, is it time to worry? And I was like, no, not yet, Jerry. You know, yeah, yeah, guys are working in this, you know.
Right.
And then then after a few weeks, I was like, yeah, Jerry, it's time to worry. Remember?
Yeah, right. Back
in it just seems like all year, the special teams have just been off, right, dude? That's and I'm not talking about Gano, you know.
Yeah.
But from the punter to the coverage to guys fumbling punts.
Yep.
Costing games, right? Yeah. Costing games, Seattle.
Blocking lanes like there's nothing. Even Brightwell, when Brightwell gets the ball, oh, God, he's just going to bring. Just get to the 20. Please make it to the 20.
Yeah,
guys are flying at him at like the 10, 15.
Yeah. And you notice teams are not kicking it through the end zone a lot. They're kicking it around the goal line.
I would kick it to the goal line every time to the Giants.
Right, because they're not worried about Brightwell hurting them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's smart on the opponent's side. So it might be something they. You could see maybe change up this off season. It's possible.
Yeah, and so you got to add kick and punt returner too. Like it's just there's a lot there's a lot needed with this team right now. A lot. Corner, inside linebacker, guard. You know, maybe another safety. Whew, maybe defensive tackle because you're not going to be able to afford Leonard Williams. We'll get into all that stuff later. But I'm just saying, like I don't envy Joe Shane's job, dude. You know, it's monumental what he's going to have to put together.
Yeah, well, you know, he started laying the foundation his first draft.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to keep pouring that cement, dude, laying that foundation in the next few drafts. And, of course, he's going to have some money to spend in free agency.
Can't wait. You know? Yeah. Not so, just cutting guys.
Yeah. So, you know, look, they have a plan, Jerry. They're not dumb, bro. They know exactly what they have to do. They know exactly the needs. And now it's just going out and signing and drafting productive players. And as for the rest of this year, hey, you got to play better, bro. Yeah. You got to play better. You just have to play better, you know?
And I was going to say, while I want Brandon Brown to, you know, good luck to him, but I hope he doesn't get any job. I hope he stays another year. Just stay another year or two, man.
So. Yeah, he's a rising star. A couple people have told me that, you know, he's a rising star. He might be one and done with the Giants, you know? Yeah. But we'll see. You know, we'll see how that plays out. And I just want to, you know, just if it comes down to playoffs and the Philly game, the last game of the year, you know, I know I'm hearing the buzz already. Well, the Eagles will be playing for nothing. Yeah, so the Giants should win that one easily. And it's like, well, let's not forget one thing, though. You know, you can only play 46 guys in game day. You can't replace all 22 starters, okay?
Right.
So there'll be starters in that game.
Right.
And you know if it comes down to knocking the Giants out, if you don't think Sirianni and the Eagles
are going to
a little bit
and
take pleasure in knocking them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know that, right, Foley? You know
totally.
That, bro.
Totally.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to, you know, they're going to do the opposite of what Peterson did years ago. Well, I mean, you know, the Peterson just said, let's put in Nate Sudfeld and the Giants won't win the division. This will be, oh, we can keep the Giants out? Yeah, but they're all playing. Brendan Graham, don't get too comfortable on the sidelines, you know. Jalen, you're playing. They're gonna try and win. I agree with you, dude.
So they're still pretty good. Even with there'll be some starters not playing, or they'll be only playing limited snaps. I don't know if it'll do it hurts, you know, if it comes down to it. But there's still You can't replace 22 guys, so there'll be plenty of guys that are pretty good on the field still. So
And they're
That's down the road. But I know a lot of people have been asking, well, you know, if it comes down to Eagle game, the Eagles are probably playing for nothing. So you know, the Giants will win. Oh, don't be so, you know. But we'll get to that down in January 7th.
Let's beat Washington and let's beat the Colts, and we probably don't have to worry about any of that. Let's just win those two games.
So it comes down to Sunday night.
Yeah.
Well, I should say Sunday night obviously is very, very huge as far as playoff hopes.
Yeah. But there is a scenario where all four can make it. So, but let's win and let's. We'll talk about that later in the week. But.
Any other thoughts?
No, I just, you know, I felt better today because it was just like kind of the same situation after Dallas. Like, just flush it. You know, the Washington games we knew were going to be really important. We didn't get the job done at home. You got to get the job done in Washington now. You got to win this game, guys. Like, just for their own confidence, too. Like, just to feel better again. Like, they're 1-4-1 the last six. It's got to be weighing on them a little bit. They started off so nicely, and they got all our hopes up. You got to win this game just for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, for standings, but two, to to get kind of the bad blood out right now and some of these bad losses out of your system. You'll feel a lot better with a win, man. You win that game, everything's going to start looking great. And then all of a sudden, the Vikings don't look beatable, man. I'm not a big believer in the Vikings anyway. No, but if you win this game, it's going to look even better.
Absolutely. And here's the feeling I got from the locker room, Jerry, and podium and everything after the game yesterday was, all right, we got our butts whipped.
Yeah.
Like, the players aren't stupid, bro. Okay, look, we're not on their level. We got our butts kicked. You know, but basically what I said, okay, but it's still there in front of us, and Washington's just like us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, last game was a 2020 tie.
Yeah.
So you're talking, I was talking to a few guys. I was actually even talking with Dexter in the tunnel after the game. He was walking out. We were walking together out. And he was saying the same thing to me. You know, I was like, yo, Dex, you know, still there in front of you next week at all.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, that's the feeling, man. He goes, it's the feeling. No, we all know we got our butts kicked, you know. And he goes, it's all there. He goes, it's all there in front of us. It's for us to take. He went like that to me yesterday.
Yeah, nice. Good.
And, you know, that's why I said, Dex, I mean, that has to be the theme. You know, you keep your head up because it's not like you were eliminated today. It's, you know, you're playing a team you just fought to a draw, you know. And I could just tell that Dex was, you know, the way he was talking, that's, you know, and then Julian, the way he was talking, even Daniel, Jahad Ward.
Oh, Jahad Ward did not hold back.
No, that's the way he is. He makes his feelings known, Jahad.
Yeah, good.
And he was basically like, all right, enough of this crap. We got to win Sunday. That's it. Yeah. We don't want to hear it. We got to go out and win a game. We got to go out and win a game.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling. You know, Dable's been through this a lot, man, with different teams, college, pros. Yep. All right, let it go. You know, we got our butts whipped, whatever. And Dable admitted it right after the game. Right, he admitted it. He goes, yeah, we lost. You know, they kicked our butt pretty good. They were a good football team, you know.
Yeah.
But hey, now we go back and we get ready for Sunday Night Football, and you could erase all this crap, you know, with a win Sunday night. You know?
Yep, that's right.
So,
good point. Good job, dude. I think we'll end it with that. We'll come back end of the week. Maybe we'll just re-record the podcast from 2 weeks ago and give you the Washington preview. But no, obviously gonna be a little different this time. Hopefully, guys come back.
Weird though, right?
It's like we'll just play that one and call it episode 126 or whatever we're on.
Right.
But we should have guys back. I'm hoping you'll know that more as the week goes on. We'll all know it more Thursday or Friday. So we'll come back later with hopefully some good news, because, like Banks said, right? Banks, and I think you said it. If Adoree Jackson's playing, and I don't think McKinney's going to play, obviously. But if guys were playing in that game that we that were injured, we win that game probably. So
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. All right, guys. Good stuff, buddy. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's Magzter. All right, guys. Hang in there. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody.